Now, Margaret Mills is back this week with a Bronte connection with Essex. So what's all this about, Margaret?
Right, Scott. Well, I think anybody out there who's a fan of the Bronte novel, Charlotte, Emily or Anne's work, may not know that there is an Essex connection with the Bronte family. In fact, that connection is through their father, Patrick Bronte, who, after he'd been trained and educated as a clergyman and he'd left Cambridge where he'd been undertaking a theology degree, his first posting as a curate was at Wethersfield in Essex. Now, at Wethersfield in Essex, he was the curate, the assistant clergyman, to a man called the Reverend Jowett. Now, Reverend Jowett was not an unusual clergyman for these times being the early 1800s, probably round about 1806, when, as far as we can tell, Patrick Bronte graduated from Cambridge with a degree in theology. The Reverend Jowett was, to all intents and purposes, the clergyman in charge of the parish church at Wethersfield. But like many rich Victorian clergymen, he spent actually very little time at his own church and delegated the responsibility to his assistant, in this case, Patrick Bronte. Now, Patrick Bronte only stayed for about 2 years in Wethersfield. But he left a reputation behind him, a very good reputation, I hasten to say, as far as being a clergyman is concerned. But as far as being a prospective husband, he left a reputation behind him of being rather, shall we say, devious and double-dealing. The young lady in question was a daughter also of a clergyman. Her father was a clergyman, but he was a nonconformist rather than a Church of England clergyman. And her name was Mary Beadnell. Now, Mary Beadnell lived in the village. She lived with her aunt. Her father had recently died just before Patrick took up residence in the village as clergyman. And the young clergyman and Mary saw one another and they very soon became very fond of each other and were spotted by the locals taking evening walks together, which was a clear indication in the early 1800s that his intentions were serious. Now, Mary was in hopes that he would propose. And there are a number of love letters that he wrote to her that are still in existence. And to all intents and purposes, it sounded like he would propose very soon. But for one reason or another, and we suspect, but we don't know for sure, it appears he suddenly decided that he no longer wanted to work in Wethersfield. He wanted to seek promotion and move somewhere else as a clergyman. He'd spent a couple of years in Wethersfield and perhaps felt that that was long enough. Sadly, for poor Mary, this meant that she was jilted, not exactly at the altar, but jilted almost at the point of a proposal. And she never ever forgave him. Many years later, when Patrick was a widow, his mind turned back to his days in Essex, and he wrote her a letter asking her if she would agree to him coming on a visit. He knew that she was still unmarried. Presumably, he still had friends in the area who kept him in touch with what was going on. And he was by that time living and working in Yorkshire and the father of a family of six children, three of whom were the famous Bronte sisters, Emily, Anne and Charlotte. Her reply to him, well, I think we can probably imagine that her reply was rather scathing, and he chose not to make the visit, perhaps diplomatically decided that things were best left as they were. But it's interesting to now think that if he had have married her, could the Bronte family have, could it have been a different outcome? Would he have still had these remarkable children who went on to write these novels that have gone down in history and in literature over 150 years and more? Well, we can only speculate, can't we?
As you say, if things changed, what would happen? Everything would change.
Exactly.
Good stuff. Thank you very much again, Margaret.